What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. Everybody, I'm Adam Hergenrother. This is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. If you like today's episode, which I know you will, please take 13 seconds and share it with somebody that you like. We love to get this audio and this help that you're going to be listening to today from three wonderful Project U participants in other people's hands. So today we're going to be jumping into our Project U full immersion course. This course is a year long and people sign up for it, and most of them are very scared when they come into it. For one, it's a big investment. It's a, you know, they've listened to our podcast. They know how deep work we do. It's a year long commitment to be away from families, their friends, and their business. And then obviously the cost for the event as well too. So it's a big investment on all fronts. But what I really loved about this Project U, this group this year, and we only have a maximum of 25 people every year. And this group went really deep into the inner conversations around physicality, around wealth, around spirituality, and then eventually into leadership and relationships. And so you're going to hear from three people today who are going to talk about why they joined Project U, kind of some fears they had into it, what they were really looking forward to, and then really what also was surprising to them about the course. And I think as we've seen a theme in Project U, a lot of people get into it for the wealth or the physicality, some in the spirituality section, but almost all of the participants are realizing that they're here because of the real work that they get to do over the course of the year on themselves. And again, absolute freedom or absolute well-being, right? Being able to walk around this earth without being disturbed is freedom, not for yourself, but freedom from yourself. And that's the real work that people are doing here today, is that freedom from themselves. And you'll hear from three participants today who really talk about the hard things, about hard things, about really doing this work. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in. So Amanda, thank you so much for being here today. I'm very, very proud of all the work that you've done on yourself. And I love talking about the real work that goes into inner growth, personal growth, spiritual growth, whatever word kind of makes sense for you. And one of the things that I love about you is, I remember in one of our sessions, you had this this kind of realization. You're kind of looking at me and you're going, you keep saying that this work is hard, that it's going to be hard. And you're like, I just don't think it's going to be that hard. And then a couple of days afterwards, you came up to me, you said, I think I'm starting to get why this is so hard. So walk us through a little bit about, you know, again, the three people that are on here today are really doing the real work. And I love the true authentic self of what that looks like. So you're on this inner growth, this personal path. What does it look like for you?
Well, you know, that's such a great thing to kick off with, because that right there, that comment shows you how much work I actually need to do and still need to do. And so, you know, this journey for me is about letting go of expectations around everything in my life. You know, I walked in that first retreat, you know, that first day, having all these expectations around, you know, the schedule and what are we going to do? And I need the answers and give me the bottom line. I'm kind of a bottom line person. Like, let's just get to the point. And it's actually about the journey, not about the answer, because you don't really ever arrive, I'm learning. And that is hard for me personally. Like, I want the answer. Just tell me what to do. I'll go do it most of the time. And so for me, it was just about, or is still about, you know, going through and letting go of what the expectations are that I've set for myself by some random or some programming that I've had in my past. And that life that we're living is just truly about this journey that we're going on.
So you talk about letting go, and that's a word that people use a lot. How have you come to know the word letting go from when you first kind of started on your path to where you are today?
You know, it's really hard to describe that other than, one, you have a choice. And that is something that's been extremely powerful over the last few months, is just actually leaning into that awareness of, okay, I have a choice how I'm going to respond, how I'm going to react, and who I'm going to be. I'm really much about doing. And instead, I want to focus on, okay, who do I have to be to get that result? And I know that's like a theme and a catchphrase of our program. But when you're in it, you'll understand that just on a level that you cannot describe. And so letting go is me not walking into a room, having an expectation of where everybody needs to be and how this is going to flow, and actually just experiencing what's unfolding. Doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. Doesn't mean that I don't care. It just means that I'm going to experience this as it comes, and I'm going to add to it wherever, you know, it makes sense for me as a person to add to that particular moment or that experience.
I love that. And beautifully said, when you signed up for a year-long journey, right, in this, a lot of people are nervous or scared. But one of the things that I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask the other two this as well too, is, was there an orientation, or what was it that kind of made you go, huh, you know, I think I really want to sign up. It's a big financial investment. It's a big time investment. And again, one of the things we're really purposeful on is bringing people in who actually want to do the real work, right? Not the kind of the illusion of what real growth means, is, but actually do it. Did you have that for years kind of coming up into it? Did just one day show up? How did you come about to that?
So for me, I had experienced level of success in my business. And I knew that there was something more, not more as in like things or money. I mean, that's all great. I have no shame about enjoying those things, but it was actually just, okay, I can't get to where I really want to go in my business life, in my health, even with my family, unless I change. And so I love coaching. I have, you know, coaches now in addition to Project U, and I've taken classes and will continue to do that. I'm always seeking, you know, to better myself, but there was just something about, and honestly, I read your book, The Founder and Force Multiplier, and got to know you and Hallie a little bit through that book and started listening to the podcast. And then it was actually, this conference, Keller Williams Family Reunion, last year. And I was there in person and saw you speak with Hallie, and you said this thing, and it may be very simple to most, but you had talked about really having an organization and being a person that people want to get up and run alongside you, not somebody that you have to pull or you have to beg them to go with you or beg you to perform. And so thinking about it for me, it started out as, I want to, you know, increase my business. I want to be a better business leader. And then when I looked at Project U, talked to Hallie about it, you know, and saw that it covered these four areas, it just was a no-brainer to me because I needed it all. And so for me, it was a brainer because of the investment. And I spent a lot of time talking to my family and my, you know, operations manager who helps control the finances in my business. And I was like, can I do this? Can I afford this? And I was like, how can you afford not to? Like, it's such an investment in yourself. And so I really was seeking for something that was going to address me as a whole. I didn't even know that's what I was seeking for. But when I saw the four areas, I was like, okay. And I'll be honest, like the spirituality one, that box, I thought, ah, that's okay. I'm not going to need that. I'm going to do the other three. And oh boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for sharing that, you know, in the four, you know, health, wealth, right, spirituality and leadership and relationships, which one were you like, hey, this is the one that I'm really looking forward to in this course. Which one showed up for you?
Well, the one that I thought and set out was the health. Mm-hmm. I thought was first, and then wealth, and then leadership. But actually the spirituality piece, which we're going through that, you know, quarter right now, has been probably the most impactful in all the areas of my life. So, you know, again, it's something I didn't know, which was my own ego driving the decision around what I thought I was going to get out of this course. And so almost, you know, that first weekend and that first, you know, 2-3 months, it was like, huh, okay, this is not about, you know, external rewards or what people think. I'm someone who's always been very caught up in what people think. And so, you know, my health or my weight, you know, has always been, you know, something of insecurity for me, but it really almost immediately started showing me that this is about a really deep inner work and actually who you're going to become, to use your words, you know, who you're going to become, on this journey, that will then just open up everything else in your life.
I have a interesting question, and I'll ask all three of you this just more from a personal side, is how much, you know, we have a wonderful, wonderful Project U class, and I love our Project U class. It's just wonderful, the relationships and everything there. I wonder how many people join Project U because of perceived or financial achievement that I actually have. Like, I wonder how many people actually come in there because of that. And kind of meeting people where they are. I see you guys all shaking your head. Yes. Like, you see, like, I've built a very large organization. We produce a lot of profit, and people follow that, particularly in our Western society. So it looks like the answer is that was a big driving factor in your decision, because you're like, hey, if he built wealth, then he's got these other areas. I'm just curious to unpack that a little bit.
I would say that for me, yes. I mean, that brings some credibility to the conversation, right? So you don't want to be coaching or taking advice from someone who's never been where it is that you're trying to go. So for me, I did seek out ways to connect with you all before I joined, right? Read the book, listened to the podcast, visited you in class in person, you know, stalked Hallie in the hallway, you know, to talk to her. And so, yes, I think it, and they can answer too for them, but for me, it's not, he's some, you know, trillionaire. It brings credibility, and I'm not really about messing around. I've wasted a lot of time in my life. Yeah. And I just wanted to go to where I thought was the best, you know, place for me to get what I'm searching for.
And to piggyback on that, so once you get into the course, and obviously there is a wealth section, which is really important, mm-hmm. that, but you mentioned that spirituality section is the most important. How has that unraveled some of your thinking from initially when you walked into the course?
So it really, what we said this too at our retreat just recently, it's like, once you know, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, you can't unsee something that you've already seen. You can't, it's hard to unknow something when you become aware of it. And so for me, honestly, it's going to sound, you know, crazy probably, but you look at the world differently. Like, I literally look around me and things that used to matter don't actually matter. You have this, I call it your motto. I don't know what you label you have for it, your tagline, but need nothing, enjoy everything. Literally, it's like on record every single day. Because I thought that, you know, I needed to get here in order to feel feel a certain way, or I needed to achieve this in order to feel a certain way. And I get to actually be happy right now and just enjoy what I'm going through. You know, I'm just took advantage of a new opportunity that came my way, and I'm scared. Like, I'm really scared about it. And yet I just look at myself, I'm like, okay, you don't have to be scared about that. Like, you don't have to have any expectations around that, because you know that you're going to bring your best self there, and that's all you can do. So it truly has changed the way I approach things. We are not done. As a matter of fact, I'm going through Project U again, because I just can't imagine not having people like this in my life, and not being, you know, just a part of such an immersive, you know, project. I mean, it truly is. And so I just get so excited because I can actually be happy now. I don't have to worry. It's not that I don't care. I care deeply. I don't have to worry about what people are thinking about me. I don't have to worry about, am I going to achieve this or that? I focus on what's truly important, which is being the best person that I can be, giving back to as many people as I can, you know, what I've learned, and helping them get what they want, and being a better mom and a better wife. Like, that's just super important to be there, be present, and be happy around my kids. Like, they don't need to see my stress, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost as like they don't need to see your stress, or you can just eliminate the stress altogether.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You show up with, you know, so many people use work as a distraction, and they put everything they have into their work, and then they go home and their family gets their leftovers. And one of the things that I've been, you know, that I'd never want anybody to do is be, you know, wealthy for a day, be healthy for a month or a year, or be having inner joy and peace on like a fraction of a vacation or the thought of going to a vacation. You know, it's those things are all, you know, I heard this morning, it's like, you know, you can, you know, if you're miserable, you take your miserable self to Hawaii still, right? Or, you know, you can, you know, maybe for a day you feel okay, but then after that you're going, how come I don't have this? How come I don't have this house over here? How come we made this longer, right? Instead of actually enjoying the vacation. Or it's like, if I'm going to give you, okay, I'll give you a vacation and you're miserable and you go over here, or you can go sit in the corner and have ecstasy, which one you choose. And it's like, well, I'll take the ecstasy in the corner. So it's not anywhere you're going. It's everything you're looking for is inside. The events that are unfolding outside trigger us, right? Or they're thorns, right? Or they're some scars if you get really deep into that. There's built in there over lifetimes that we don't know what triggers it. That's what, we don't know what we are. We know we're not what we're not, right? Mm-hmm. We're not the thought. And that's how you just never try to define what you are, because you can't use your mind to define what you are. If you are water, you can't use water to define water, right? So, but what you can do is you can determine what you're not. You're not your thought. You're not your emotions. You're not people, places, or things. You're not any of that. You're the one who sees and experiences all of this. You experience all the emotions. It doesn't mean they go away. You recognize them with a lightness to it. And as you approach life that way, it's like I said earlier on a call, I said, people have had aha moments in their life, right? Many times people have had aha moments, maybe once every couple of years or more often. Why not live your entire life so that your life is an aha moment itself? And the only reason why people don't have aha moments more often is because they're so attached or identified to some belief or perspective, right? You know, the Super Bowl just happened recently, and I use this as a wonderful example. I saw so many people get so identified with their team that they literally were like anger, like showed up when their team didn't do the certain way. I mean, anger, not just like, oh, that was a great game, I wish we had won, right? With no energy behind it. I mean, like physically angry and crying and all this stuff. And it's like, I'm like, if you're so identified with a team, a sports team, that you have all this anger over somebody who does not like your sports team, imagine what it's like to live inside your head, where you're so identified with your beliefs and your perspectives and your idea of yourself and your images. I said, this is a sports team, for sakes. You can see it outside and you're this angry over it. Imagine how your life is inside, right?
I'm just unwilling to live like that anymore, where you can use a simple example of, like, you know, road rage and traffic, right? Like, I haven't gotten angry at traffic for years. Like, I gave that up a long time ago, but people do, right? Just over the craziest little things. And I love the fact that I am aware enough now to know I can choose every single day. I get a choice. And Project U just continues to remind you of that every day, every week, every quarter when we meet. And that's what I love about you, is you continue to, I mean, you're always bringing something new, but you continue to repeat the things that you know that we humans struggle with the most. And when you talk about that level of immersion, that you just have that all the time versus going to a class and leaving the class and then you're left on your own, like, that has been a key factor for me. Just having that, you know, all the time right there. I don't want to do this by myself. I don't want to figure it out by myself. And I'm just so thankful that I have you guys. Sorry, you didn't ask me that, but
no, it's all. Thank you. We're grateful to have you. Well, thank you for sharing that, Jim. So thank you, Amanda. I want to, first of all, I love the growth that you've had, Jim, and just watching you throughout the course has been a blessing for sure. And I always think of Jim as like, I see him intensely taking notes and all of a sudden he'll raise his hand with the best one or two liners that are there. Like, and he says it with such conviction, like, I got it. Like, it's just awesome. And I know that you're also taking that and sharing it with everybody else too, as well, which is a wonderful blessing as well. So kind of to start with you, Jim, kind of walk us through up until, you know, obviously you were doing some coaching before and you kind of came up into this and how did you, what'd you think of Project U, kind of how you kind of oriented yourself into this course?
Yeah, thank you. I actually just took a note a minute ago. I wrote down ecstasy in the corner.
Yeah.
Love that. So I connected with you through your coaching program, through Carrie, as an introduction. I was coaching other leaders in a different setup and just wasn't completely fulfilled with that. And I had gone through some other personal growth stuff. And a few months before I met Carrie, who introduced me to you, I finished a coaching program that gave me this aha of, what if nothing's wrong and what if there's nothing to fix? And so I was kind of living in that space and looking for something deeper. I met Carrie. She introduced me to you. I heard you speak. Same thing, Keller Williams family reunion. And Carrie immediately said, well, we have this thing called Project U. You should check it out. And I think it took me about 5 minutes and I'm like, well, let's just do it. You know, I didn't even know too much about it, but I will tell you that the allure, the draw was the wealth building opportunity to hang out with someone and to learn from someone for a year who has created great wealth. I was in, right? The other three categories, I kind of went into it like, oh, I'm sure I've heard this before some way or another. And so joined and went, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Life changing, literally.
Thank you. So what do you think has been the kind of the catalyst for your change? Like, you know, the physicality, the wealth, the spirituality sessions that we're on, and how do they kind of link together? I know we've had some conversations about that.
Yeah. All of them. And I'm looking forward to the leadership relationship one too. You know, my MO had been for a long, long time, control and ego. I am going to do, and I'm going to act, I'm going to achieve through my own efforts, and I'm going to control it, and I'm going to feed my ego. And a little bit of that, maybe even going into Project U, like I can obtain this wealth through my doing and my efforts. And that got broken down really quick in a great way. And you know, you have that poem that you've recited a number of times that I love, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's, you know, the rivers flow when they flow and they go into the ocean and the ocean doesn't overfill and it just happens. And so that's been a huge aha for me for, you know, letting go of control, being able to see my life and all the aspects of my life and learning how to ignore being forced to look at all those things through my ego. And being able to separate from that. You know, we talk a lot about the doing world and the being world, and that distinction has been life-changing for me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's a line from the Gita, which we read in the first day, which we'll read in the last day of understanding that it's Arjuna and Krishna having a conversation, right? If anybody's read the Gita, and it talks about the, how do you identify somebody who's enlightened essentially? And they're, you know, it talks about how they're a sojourner in the midst of the qualities of nature. And just as all the rivers and streams and ocean pour into the oceans, but leave the oceans exactly the way it is, so does the, you know, the life in itself is never pours into a yogi, but leaves them unchanged as well too. And I think that's part of the what you're saying there is like, you have all these experiences, they pour into you, but we're not overflowing our boundaries, right? We're not trying to hold on to them to create a dam. We're just allowing them to flow through to us as well. So what do you, you talked about kind of really the separation of the ego. Let's unpack that a little bit for the audience. Can you break that down for me as of how you see that and come to fruition within yourself?
I will try. It's a matter of just starting and recognizing that that is a separate thing, that your ego is a separate thing and that you can recognize it when it shows up. and not identify with it 100%. You know, you say a lot that life is a dance and she's in control. And if you're going to live like that, you have to let go of your ego because you're not in control. Those things go together a lot. And I think about that a lot day by day of, you know, if life is a dance and she's in control, what do I have to do? I have to get in the flow. And that's going to be a really cool dance. And imagine what that dance looks like if I don't even understand that she's in the lead. Right. And so it's just letting go of it. I know that's a word or a term we throw around a lot, and there's a ton there to unpack. So.
Well, that was beautifully said. What does letting go mean to you?
Living in the being world, not the doing world.
Yeah.
And that's where I was before with a lot of control and a lot of ego. It's the doing world to hang on to those. And I heard something early on when I listened to your first podcast, and it was, you know, your business development is a conduit for your personal growth. And it blew my mind. Like, that's all I could think about that whole day was that idea. And I'm like, wait a minute, these are the same thing. And you know, it's really just in that being, learning to live in the being world, the doing stuff will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And I got hung up a lot on the, you know, whoa, that means we just like sit around and think about what we're going to be. And it's the opposite of that. I mean, there's massive action that opens up.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because every time somebody starts to hear that or entertain that, or even different stages of there, they instantly go, what is that? I'm just going to like, just hang out, like not do anything. Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Right. Like, we have that little joke in Project U. Like, it's just, so what have you learned about that when you actually start letting go? And you said it's massive action. Kind of explain that for the audience and they're listening. Yeah.
Well, this comes up a lot with the leaders that I work with in our business is we let go of the outcome.
Yes.
And once we let go of the outcome, we're free to take massive action.
Yes.
The opposite of that is if we're so holding on to the outcome so tightly, it prevents us from taking the action because we're worried about the outcome. So once you let go of the outcome, you're then free to take massive action. You know, I've learned through working with you and Project U and your podcast and your books that, and I've come to see this, business is this playground that we get to go play in.
Yeah.
And I have never had as much business success as I do currently, because she's in the lead. Life's a dance and she's in the lead. And when I've started living like that, it's unfolded, it's flowed. And I used to come in and prevent it.
Yeah. Love the way you said that. It does. And again, it makes you become better at everything, father, brother, you know, sister, relationships, business, all of it. You just become better, like 60-100 times fold. Now, it doesn't mean everyone's gonna be out there and be a billionaire. It doesn't mean everyone's gonna have this, but it just means you just become better. And there's a lightness to everything that's there as well. I kind of, you know, reminded me when you talk about letting go, right? Letting go, I think of this is like the analogy of you're playing tug of war, right? And I think Michael Singer uses this analogy in either in his book or in one of his episodes. And he talks about, you know, how you're always holding on to this rope and you're just trying to get 15 yards behind you. Like you see the end zone, right? It's right behind you and you're just trying to go. And you're sitting there and you try all these different techniques with hands of how to change your grip on the rope. You change your positioning. You turn around and hold it from behind and you plant your heels in, and all these people come in there and tell you how to, you know, reach down a little bit lower and get into your back and use it this way, until finally somebody walks in, like the Yoda or whatever it is, walks in there and says, hey, you're just trying to get, and by the way, on the other side is this NFL team, right? There's no way you're going to pull them. And you're just like, I can't do it. And you're sitting there exhausted, just trying to pull every single moment, every single day, until somebody walks in and says, hey, why don't you just let go of the rope? And you go, well, what do you mean? I said, why don't you just let go of the rope? Like, well, if I let go of the rope, they're going to pull me. No, 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 no. the minute you let go of the rope can't pull you anywhere. The only reason why it's pulling you now is because you're holding on to it. In your deep work, you'll realize that there's a dam and you're trying to unblock the dam. At some point when you get down to your last couple of pebbles, you reach down in there and you realize what was blocking the dam was your left hand. And the whole time you're sitting there using your right hand to clean it out, you could have just lifted your left hand up. And that energy and that chi or that shakti will literally just liberate you as it flows through you. And that's the letting go part. But when you let go, it doesn't mean you just sit back and have passivity. It's actually exactly what you said, Jim. You actually just become so much better at everything, right? When you're skiing, I know you're a skier, right? When you're skiing through the woods and you're ripping through there, you're not, you're letting go of what's actually happening around you, but you're still moving at massive speeds and you actually get better. Then when you start using your mind, you hit a tree, right? Like I use this analogy, like I literally was, I've been learning how to ski over the past couple of years. So I'm in the woods ripping and I'm flowing. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, try toning your toes this way a little bit more. And bam, like I caught a root and hit a tree and flipped over. I remember lying there, this is a couple of weeks ago, lying there going, see, the minute you start getting in your mind, shit happens, right? You just flip over for it. And just, I remember lying there in the snow going, I'm going to use this analogy, right? Like it was one of those ones because it just flipped over. And then the ego too, I think the best definition I've ever heard of the ego itself is Eckhart Tolle, when we talked about, it's the identification of the false identity, right? It's the identification, your attachment to something that's false. And the false, and then they kind of describe that in my perspective is your beliefs, your perspectives, things, people, places. Anytime that you identify your consciousness with any of those things, that's an egoic level of consciousness. And so you're just operating from that place, which is a need or desire. And as you said earlier, Jim, you said control and ego. It's really ego that then has the control. The only reason why you want the control is because you've identified with the position that the ego has. And so then the ego says, I need to be in control to uphold this position that you've identified with. And so therefore, when you're upholding that, the ego, the control actually is not the issue. It's the identification with the ego that then wants the control, wants things to be right. You build like this like moat around your entire house and say, life's going to be fine as long as I can control the way exactly I want it to. And every now and then, I don't mind a little problems because people said I should have them. I'll let them own over here, but as long as I can control them, right? But right. Letting go is like opening the drawbridge to allow water to kind of flow through there as well, right?
And that shows up. I can feel it because I get way less activated by things that used to kind of push that ego button. And learning to just step back and watch that, but not become it and not be so egoically attached to it, if that's a word. And I feel more prepared now immensely to handle any problem that comes. I just don't have to do it that way.
Yeah. I love the way you said that. It was beautiful. Can you give us an example? Because that's the first stages that people go to in their personal growth is just feeling a sense of lightness or things that used to bother you no longer do. So can you give us a couple examples of those, Jim?
Business example. So I'm in the business of real estate market centers, Keller Williams specifically, and it's a very competitive business. And early on, I built those by control and ego and will. And I would just, when an agent said, hey, I'm going to ABC Realty, it would tear me apart. And now I just step back and it's just a flow and it is what it is. And they go to ABC Realty and then three more from XYZ come over and then they either come back or they don't. And it's okay.
Yes.
And it's letting go of that stress and tension and control and ego doesn't lead to failure. It opens up this flow that leads to more prosperity than ever.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what I used to think.
Yeah, I love that. It's confronting the brutal facts of the situation. In this example, right? Anybody leaves in an organization, employee, independent contractor, we're in a world that's very transitory. People come and go all the time. And instead of thinking it so personal, it doesn't mean you don't fight to keep somebody or try to help somebody. But at the end of the day, if they're going to go, you help them pack. Like I say that in personal relationships, like at the end of the day, if somebody wants to leave you and you've done everything you can from a clarity standpoint, and they still want to go, help them pack. I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. The only reason why you wouldn't is because the ego goes, I need this person. I need this. And that need is, as Amanda said earlier, need nothing and enjoy everything, right? And that's really what that is speaking to.
Yeah.
So Jim, thank you so much for sharing that. That's awesome. I love hearing your journey, and I'm super excited to be proud to be on it with you. Mia.
Likewise.
Hey.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm just, you know, walking around. So talk to us about your kind of orientation, your start into Project U, and how you kind of jumped into this as well. Before you get going, I always love to talk a little bit about each individual. And, you know, Mia, you're the one who's looking at me so intently when I'm teaching and just sitting there. And like, you're not always writing, then sometimes you write, but you're just sitting there and I can see you're processing it. Like, you want to fight me for saying something sometimes.
All the time. It's
true, but like, you're trying to fight with it and kind of work it out. And sometimes we get into, while I'm teaching, these kind of like, just we lock eyes for a while you're doing it. And then like 20 minutes later, you come out and have like a 5-minute dissertation about everything you went through your mind of how you worked through it, which I love because it helps throw the audience with it. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks. That's actually a great perspective. I didn't even realize that process. I know that I process literally everything. Like, I'm just like, I'm unpacking all of it and trying to connect all the dots. And I've always been on this spiritual journey, and I think a lot of it had to do with just the way that I grew up and some of the traumas and experiences and stuff. And so I always felt this deepness within me, always, where I never felt like I could ever glaze over things. Like, I've always had to go deeper. And so, but that kind of was at a standstill for a while, even through all the depths. I mean, I did the yoga teacher training, and, you know, I got into the church and I did this, and I'm just like, there's gotta be something more. But I just didn't know how to ask the right questions. I was looking for answers. And so when you came into my life, and I always have Amanda Price to thank for this, because she brought you to Wilmington, and I was still pretty new to this world of wealth. I mean, I was in survival mode my entire life, and it has taken a lot of deep work to get into a place where I feel like I can thrive, where my mindset gets into abundance. And I've existed in lack for so long under the guise of everything's okay, you know, like almost like, no, it's cool. But like, really, I couldn't help myself. I was drowning, and being like, it's fine. I'll tread water as long as I need to right here. And so, you came in, you were talking about business. And at this time, I mean, I was not just paycheck to paycheck. I was like struggling. You know, my ex was paying all the bills. I was paying my own bills and just barely making it. Like, I wasn't contributing in any other way in my life. And that was kind of my story forever. Yeah. You know, that was my life story, is always just getting by, happy, you know, pretty much every step of the way, stressed, and yet like pretty happy, like not realizing that I could have actual joy. And, I picked a fight with you actually the first time I met you.
I remember that. That was awesome. You should explain
something about my mom. I wanted the right answer, and you wouldn't give it to me. And of course that made me respect you so much more and like you so much more. And I already, I'm a textbook people pleaser. And so, people were drawn to you. And so that made me want to be drawn to you also, but I can't do that inauthentically. You know, I can't just show up and smile and try to win people's favor. Like, I have to connect. And so you wouldn't give me the answer I wanted, which was annoying. And Hallie, I always tell you that you're not annoying. The stuff that you say that makes me feel annoyed, because I have to actually process it. But Hallie came up to me about something, and she felt, and which is crazy, because I know this isn't Hallie all the time. She dialed in on me, and we started talking about yamas and niyamas, and the rest is history. And so she offered Project U to me. And again, I was paycheck to paycheck. It's not cheap to go into Project U. Like, you know, I mean, it's an expense you have to really consider. And it was almost a joke, because what the money was, I was like, that's how much I make a month right now. Like, I can't afford this. And I also didn't want to take the help. You know, I wanted to, my ego wanted to, you know, bury its flag in the ground and be like, here's where we stand. Like, I'll figure it out. I'll take as long as I need to. And, you called me, it was like a 20 minute call. And I remember thinking, holy shit, this guy's giving me 20 minutes of his time. Like, that's kind of a big deal. And I know you don't look at it that way, but that's how I looked at it. And you said, I don't need the money. Okay. It's not like I need the money. But you wanted me to have skin in the game. And I know that there were some scholarships available and that there are people that are in that room with me through this whole experience that contributed to literally this massive life change. And I don't know who they are. I might not ever know who they are. And I know that this makes me want to pay it forward even more because, you know, you asked me to put in a certain amount, and that was a huge push for me. That was really stressful. And I committed, I mean, I'm sweaty talking about it. And this is exactly how I felt when you were telling me to bring some money to the table. I was like uncomfortable, wanted to say yes so badly because for me, it was the spiritual side. It wasn't the financial, it wasn't the physical, and it wasn't the key leadership. It was the spiritual side. I thought I was going to come in there and I was going to get all the answers that I wanted. And I desperately wanted that. I still desperately want that, but I've learned my lesson. It's just more questions. It's never answers. So I said yes. And that was a big stretch. It was a really uncomfortable amount of money for me to put in. And it's not even near what the actual amount was. And, you know, I told you this, I quadrupled my income in 9 months. Like, I went from paycheck to paycheck to like, I looked at my W-9s, they all came through. And I mean, I quadrupled my income. Quadrupled it, which, you know, money is money, and money doesn't drive me. It doesn't, you can't, you know, hold a carrot, like the money carrot in front of me and make me go faster or go better. It's this connection thing, and I need to feel it, and I need it to be authentic, and I need it to light me up. And so, I would not have been a member of Project U had it not been for you being like, no, you need to be in this. Like, I want you to have some skin in the game. If you hadn't asked me to do that and put some skin in the game, I don't think I would have done it. I did it scared. I wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have done it. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have had the same experience that I did in this feeling, this visceral feeling that I have now, if you hadn't challenged me to get uncomfortable. And that was like the first step.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's wonderful. I love how you have quadrupled your income. It's amazing. Yeah. 9 months. It's awesome. But I think one of the coolest things that we received as kind of leading Project U is people from the first class said, hey, we're going to donate enough money so that somebody else or two other people or three other people can jump into this and want this experience. We have a couple of people in mind. So let me help you out. And it's such a really cool thing. And so until this day, we just got more donations this month for people, which is awesome to help people out because it's making these things affordable for everything. So talk to us about, okay, you came in here, you worked there, you doubled your wealth. Talk to us, you came in for the spirituality part. What does that look like for you in your life up until this point?
It's been the most challenging thing I've ever experienced. And, and like the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because I'm conditioned to do hard things. That's how I grew up. And I didn't really realize, I had never challenged myself before. I could do hard things and other people can look at that and relatively think like, wow, like your life was so hard. But not like that narrative actually diminished so much growth. I mean, it kept this feeling over my head for a really long time. And so this process, it required me to get challenged. And, I mean, that's a hot and cold thing. I didn't even get to temper myself into, even with all this spiritual journey work I've done, it was under the, guise of, yeah, like I understand things at a deep level, you know, like I mean, my ego was driving the bus. We all know this, right? like my ego was driving the bus. And so, even with all this work that I'd done and all this understanding that I had, the problem of being conditioned to doing hard things is you know how to say the right answer. That's why my word this year is self-respect, and aligns with integrity. To not just say the right answer, but to like, to deeply understand what it is I'm saying and to actually show up and do that work. And I'm too good at the right answer. I'm too good at knowing what to say. And I don't learn from that when I do that. And so we talked about, Jim talked about the journey, it's not about the destination at all. And Amanda touched on this as well. When you're driven, or when things come more naturally to you, you can get from point A to point B really fast, sometimes faster than everybody else. And you can look really good doing it. And you can kind of put on a show like, look what I did. Like, aren't you impressed? And you actually miss everything in between. You miss all the growth in between and all of the work in between that actually helps you break through a ceiling. And so really what I was doing was going from point A to point B really quickly, and then just repeating that pattern under, you know, the restaurant industry or real estate or whatever, the marathon, and like all these, like it's all doing. And so the in between of whatever point, well, you learn there's really no point B, is that that's the being. And so I had to show up differently than I ever have before. And it's, and what's happening is I'm dying to parts of myself, and there's grief with that. You know, there's, it's a very intense emotion and a very, and we joked about this at dinner that night. I was trying to get you to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. something stupid, like, cause it's a great show. Okay. No. And you were saying, yeah, I'll watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when you let go. And, but we, you know, I said, I'd let go if it meant that I got to be an enlightened billionaire on the other side of this. Yeah, no problem, but it's scary. But, and Jim said it. He said it's the identification, or did you say this, identification of false identity, like just let go. Yeah. And so that's why it's so hard.
Is that the, when you talked about you're really good at the right answer and showing up to do the real work, is that what you mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just say it.
I think I love how you said that. I'm really good at saying the right answer. Share or unpack that for me a little more, because I think a lot of people are really good at telling themselves the right answer that they need to hear in that moment to prevent them from actually doing the work. So what does that
mean? Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. Like, I connect, like you said, like my process is like I unpack it all and I'm looking for the point, the answer, like I'm trying to just figure out how it all works together. And I can discern and come to what I think the right answer would be in this moment. You know, like it's almost like I can engineer the response, but I actually didn't do the work. You know, like I literally, it didn't change me. I'm like, it's the people pleaser. It's the, I know the right answer. It's, I know what to do. And it's the ego. And, but it didn't actually cause me to get uncomfortable. It didn't actually cause me to self-reflect. It didn't actually cause me to get still with myself. It didn't actually cause me to persevere through things that, like, whatever the right answer was, I didn't apply it. I just knew what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
You know, or what some, not you necessarily, but what people want to hear.
Yeah. And so how do you stop that in midstream when it starts to come out and you find yourself going, And this kind of goes for any of this, right? For all of us, like when you're going midstream, like you find yourself being caught up in that egoic level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Like you keep going with it. How does that work for you? Yeah.
I just talked about this. I've been talking to my mind, and then I have to actually ask myself what's really happening right there. Like, and I had to also come to terms with that the response isn't like shaming myself into that. It's not beating myself up about it. It's not thinking that just because I said it and it sounds like I understand it, that I've actually done it. And so that means that I had to come to terms with that this is going to be a practice, and it's going to be really frustrating, and I'm going to have to do that over and over and over again until it becomes a reflex. And I'm not anywhere close to it becoming a reflex yet. So so that actually requires me to have constant awareness.
I think that's a great technique people could take away too. One of the biggest releases that I've had in a long time came from me journaling while the ego was trying to pull me back down. And it was, I took it all out and was putting it on paper so I could separate it so clearly, and just kind of like almost writing down what the ego was trying to say, but it doesn't say it in words. They say it in pulls and emotions, right? And so it was almost like, oh, you want me to touch that? You want me to go there? You want me to do this? And it was almost like identifying it. And the whole time I'm sitting there, this releasing it because it's, you're not giving an energy, and an ignored guest quickly leaves. And so when you start to no longer feed the energy, because your everything in life is energy, everything, whether it's, you know, you have water, and your water, is it really water, or is it H2O, or is it atoms, or is it neutrons, right? Whichever level you go down to a certain level, you realize that everything is energy. And the same thing is the thought or emotions are just energy too. And so when you start to bring them into the light like that, not to give them energy, they actually start to find resolution in themselves. And one of the things that I heard really from a spiritual teacher was that when these things are released, one of the things to do is to thank the even the darker energy, because the darker energy needs to have some sort of resolution so it can be just kind of just evaporated, so it doesn't come back in a magnetic pole. And so I was doing that with their whole release of this, like, hey, like just writing it out as if exactly like I said, like it was actually talking to me. I was putting it in the words, but based on the feeling of the emotion that was there. And then at the same time, I was thanking it, like, hey, thank you so much for just for trying to get me to pull there, right? It's so wonderful.
You could, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for, exactly. And it just, it keeps getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And that starts to create that, that spiritual stability. So you can sit there longer and longer and longer. So these more of these thorns get removed from you. So you don't have to walk around life. If you have a thorn in your leg, like not afraid to touch it from somebody or somebody to see it. You're just, you're covering all these things up. You actually, instead of doing any of that stuff, you actually just remove the thorn, which is the deep work we've all been talking about today.
You should write a book called The Memoirs of My Ego from, I'd read that.
Yeah. At some point, it'll be there. It's ready. Well, thank you all so much. I'm super proud of all of you for all the work that you've done and that you are continuing to do, because this is not a one-time event. Just like anything in life, it's, you don't, you know, eat salad one time, but it starts with one time. And it starts with just the little moments of letting go, starts with the little moments of saving, starts with the little moments of exercise and really letting go of that part of you that wants to be in control or right. So you guys are just wonderful examples of people waking up and waking up people around you. So thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for listening today. If you liked this episode, we would love for you to write a review. We also know it takes at least a minute to go do that, and we may not have a minute right now. I would love for you to share this episode with somebody that you feel that could benefit from listening to today's episode. So feel free to just hit one button, share it, and we'd love to hear your feedback as well too. And we'd love to hear from our audience. And so if you have a question for us, go to adamhergenrother.com/podcast, and right under subscribe, there's a place for you to enter your question. We love getting questions from our audience and tackling on our podcast.